This week on the Shame Free Life podcast radio show, we will have a candid conversation today. Are you tolerated or are you celebrated?
Today is about the power of you.
We can be whatever we dream.
You're locked into another episode of 15 Minutes of Shame. Each week, we'll help you rebuild your life one brick at a time by addressing real life issues from a practical and biblical perspective.
I had to believe in myself like never before.
This is the Shame Free Radio Show.
Finding a solution to become the greatest.
And now your host, minister, author, grief and trauma support specialist, Dr. Ronald Zion Rose.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it.
Good evening, good morning, good night, wherever you are, coast to coast and from around the globe. You are locked inside of another installment inside the Shame Free Life studio. I am your host, Ronald Zion, and it is a pleasure to be back with you once again. And I promise you, Shame Free Life fam, I will not stay away from you too long. We are back on track. I'm excited about this today, wherever you are, it may be this morning, but let's get right into it. Let me ask you a question. Of course, I've already asked you a question. Have you ever been in a place where you felt out of place? Now, you may be a Cowboys fan and you're in the midst of a stadium with a bunch of wild rabbit Philadelphia Eagle fans or my team. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers, well, not my team. I don't own any stock, but you get the gist of it. You may be a female in an all-male venue or vice versa. You may be of a different nationality and you're thrusted into a setting of a nationality that doesn't reflect your own. Okay, you're in a place that you feel out of place. But those things are going to happen in life. You're going to be in a place, in a position that's uncomfortable, but you just go with the flow, but you understand who you are in that place or space and that you process that it is a natural event that is occurring. But what if you are in a place or a space that is not just uncomfortable, but you are unwanted? Which brings me to the topic on today. Are you tolerated or are you celebrated? Are you just being tolerated or are you in a place and a space that you are celebrated? You know, Shame Free Life family, I really believe that you cannot be celebrated unless you are first appreciated.
God, today.
And there are so many people that live a life of compromise as it relates to just being in a place or a venue where they are just tolerated, but they're not celebrated. We will tolerate you because we know you. We will tolerate you because you are, you know, our quote unquote friend or associate, you know. We will tolerate you because the fact that we share somewhat the same cubicle. I'll tolerate you, you know, in the workplace or in a relationship, just being tolerated, but not celebrated. And, you know, whenever you're in a place or a space where you are not celebrated, then and we're going to get into the dynamics of what I believe. Or why we should refrain from just being in a place or a space of being tolerated and not celebrated. Now, one may say, well, that's very narcissistic. I mean, why does somebody have to celebrate you? Well, it's not narcissistic as well. I think a lot of times we use that term out of term and not really understand the full definition, the characteristics and the dynamics of a narcissist that occupies that particular space in place of being in many ways sociopathic. So we just wheel that word around narcissism, just like, you know, the word love. Do we truly know what love is? I don't think that we truly do for the most part, which brings me to being tolerated and not celebrated. There's no love in that. I think that when we subject ourselves to just being tolerated, There's certain dynamics that take place. And let me give you a clear example. Just going to scripture, how the Messiah, Christ himself, he was oftentimes celebrated because he fed thousands from a two-piece fish dinner. He was celebrated because he raised Lazarus from the dead. He was celebrated because he stopped the funeral procession and touched the coffin, and the boy who was dead, the teenager, regained his life again. He was celebrated for the signs and the miracles, the supernatural ability to do what no man had done before him in manifold proportions. He was celebrated even walking on water. But oftentimes when we look deeper into the domestic life, the earthly life of Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ, we see that in many regards, he was simply tolerated and not celebrated. You know, the Bible talks about he came into his own and his own received him not. Also, he said out of his own mouth that a prophet is not with honor except in his own country, his own community, amongst his own kin folk, family folk. So outside of those circles that are very familiar, he was celebrated. Amongst the very circles that were familiar to him that he grew up in, he was simply tolerated. There were many instances whereas he was talked about, do you know Yeshua? Yeah, I mean, he was born of fornication. I mean, we know his mother. We know his whole family. He lived right around the corner from Nazareth. You know, the projects. I mean, we grew up with him. I mean, you know, ain't nothing special about him. So there are many that will discount you for many different reasons. I think number one, because they don't truly know you. Number two, they don't want to put in the sweat equity to now truly get to know you once they come to the understanding that they don't know you. Thirdly, which is very powerful, that they are intimidated by you. They are intimidated by the way that you walk, by the way that you talk, the accomplishments that you made. They are intimidated because you could have tapped out a long time ago in the main event of life. But rather than tapping out, you excelled and you used that moment in life, that trauma, that crisis, as a means of breaking the shackles of limitation and boundaries to excel. So they are completely confounded and amazed at how you just stared life eye to eye and said, I will not die, but live and declare the works of God the Most High in my life. So many are intimidated because they don't have that wherewithal. They don't have that stick-to-itism. They don't have that resilience and tenacity that you have. And because it's the God that is in you, but it's also in your DNA structure, it's in your chromosome to not tap out, even though that you think about it, you meditate, and you may give in. You may give in, but you will not give up. You may give out, but you will not give up. And they don't have those attributes within. And so they're looking at you through a side eye lens of jealousy.
God, today.
Because they wish that they had that kind of stick-to-itiveness. They wish that they had that type of resilience to get smacked in the face, to get suplexed, to get dropped in the main event of life's circumstances and trauma and get up again, but they just don't have that level of dog that you have on the inside. Are you tolerated or while you celebrate it. I want to talk to you in regards to why it is absolutely necessary, especially those of us who come from a pattern of rejection, dejection, codependency that is attached to shame. Why it is so important to get to a place of inner healing, and this is the premise of the Shame-Free Life Radio, trauma recovery. It is so important that we get to a place of inner healing that the validation that we're seeking is the validation that we have. And from an inward place, that which is on the outside will either echo what is happening or what has taken place on the inside, or it will not. But we no longer live on pins and needles trying to seek the validation outwardly that we already possess inwardly, because it's now rooted in a place not of pain, but a place of power, a place of identity. And oftentimes those of us who suffer from rejection or abuse, trauma, that we always look outwardly, because we have yet to journey down the road of self-discovery inwardly of who we truly are. So it's easy now to forfeit who I am to become something that I'm not. It's easy now to put on a quote unquote Halloween mask to mask my real self. But I will put on this mask of public image. I will put on this mask of a public persona. I will put on my social media mask. I will put on my church mask. I will put on my my job mask. I will put on these various masks. And under all of those layers of personality types and persona lies the real you, that have yet to be discovered and embraced, because it, out of fear that if I take off all of the mask that please or people please, when we get down to the common denominator, the sum of who I really am, I will not be appreciated. Therefore, I will not be celebrated. I will just be tolerated. And perhaps I would submit to you that this kind of programming, because that's what it is, beloved, it's a programming that we oftentimes download into the hard drive of our soul because of a traumatic incident, event, or situation that have occurred, oftentimes in our family dynamic or in community settings, where you were in a situation where you were Not only were you not celebrated, but you were violated. And oftentimes that place of where the violation took place in our souls, if we're not healed from the violation, then we will always walk out a reality that it is okay to just be tolerated, because I don't know what it means to be celebrated. Whenever I do present who I really am, I'm violated. So in order to not go through what I went through at age 5, age 10, 15, 21, 35, 45, what I will do, I will continue to masquerade in a mask of public persona and perception to cover the reality of my true self, to protect my true self from being hurt again. And when we get back, we're going to talk about, after this commercial break, why you should refrain, why we should refrain from just being tolerant. tolerated as opposed to being celebrated. Have you ever felt alone and life is out of control? Perhaps like a sailboat at sea in the midst of a tsunami. Well, you're not alone. Here at the Shame Free Life LLC, we offer services in trauma recovery, crisis intervention, and empowerment coaching. We operate in integrity, confidentiality, empathy, with coaching ethics. Contact us at theshamefreelife.com or email us at contact@theshamefreelife.com. You may not be responsible for your injury, but you are responsible for your healing. Let us help you rebuild your life one brick at a time, because your life begins when you say so. And we are back. Are you just being tolerated or celebrated? What a profound question for us to look into the depths of our own souls and go to a place of serenity, a soulless place, to discover or rediscover the truth of certain things. Beloved, you are not to just be tolerated, but to be appreciated and celebrated. And when we begin to see through the lenses of reality as it really is, as opposed to how it appears, then we would make that demand wherever we go. I want to read to you a scripture here in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, to just validate the journey of the Messiah and what he had to go through. And if he went through it, I know that we're going to go through it. In a translation here, let's just go to the English Standard. I mean, just, he could do no mighty work. He could do no more mighty work there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. Why? Because of their unbelief. There are people that just want to benefit from your talents and your gifts. They want to benefit from just being around you, but they don't want to get to know you. They want to benefit from all of the perks and what you bring to the table, because they're self-seeking. They're selfish and self-centered. See, all of those words begin with self. It's all about themselves and coming up. It's all about themselves and conquering. So therefore, they will use you and I to be able to get what they want, and then they're out. How many women or men are in situations and circumstances in relationship to whereas you have been programmed that the best part of you is what's between your legs?
God, today.
How many of you have been programmed because of rejection, because of abandonment, because of abuse, because of being mishandled and misused, being violated, that you have bought in to the programming that was downloaded into your soul by way of trauma, that the best part of you is your body. The best part of you is how you give good sex. But beloved, I submit to you, that's not the best part of you. You haven't yet seen the best part of you, because you're looking through cracked lenses of your soul that needs to be whole. And when you come to the reality of who you truly are, from the vantage point and through the vision of the one who manufactured and made you, you not only begin to see your place, see yourself through the lenses of being whole, but now you will make that demand on anything and anyone that is in your domain. Are you tolerated, or are you just being, or are you being celebrated? Are you just being tolerated or celebrated? You know, as we approach the holidays, and it's really amazing that we're here, you know, at the end of the year, and, you know, time is moving at warp speed. You know, the Messiah talked about these times. And some people, they look forward to the holidays, and there are other people that simply dread it. And we understand about depression, and depression is real. Anxiety is real around the holidays for various different reasons, chiefly because of grief from loss. How many settings will individuals find themselves in that they're simply being tolerated and not celebrated? Will tolerate you because you're so-and-so's son, or you're so-and-so's cousin, or nephew or niece, but we really don't celebrate you. And the atmosphere speaks the truth. As you begin to see it for what it truly is, you're not being hypersensitive, you're not being hypervigilant because of post-traumatic stress, but you truly see it that you're just being tolerated and not celebrated. So we go through this charade game, and that's exactly what it is. We go through this charade of smiling and laughing, and, you know, there's a joke or two here or there, but the reality is we really don't want you here, and we really, this party or this gathering would be much better without your presence. But we're just tolerating you, not celebrating you. Or perhaps, you know, it's a high school reunion and you're there, and you always feel the need to try to fit in with the in crowd, the most popular people. Here we are. We're 5 years, 20, 25 years removed from high school, and you still have people on both sides that are stuck in a perpetual emotional vortex of still having to be the most popular jock or popular dancer or popular dresser. And then on the other side, you have those that were never popular, but always tried to fit into the in crowd because of their own wounds of understanding who they are and a need to be accepted and validated and approved, as opposed to constantly being rejected. So you're 30, 35, 40, 45 years old or greater, and we find ourselves on either side of the aisle. Of course, there are those that are healed, and they're just there to just enjoy themselves because they understand who they are, because they operate from their true selves. But we have predominantly two types of people there: those that want to continue in being the most popular or the most prettiest. Now the jury is out on some of these folk, or what have you. And then those who aspire to be like them or to be accepted by them. Are you just being tolerated or celebrated? You know, now let's get down to why we should refrain from just being tolerated rather than celebrated. Number one, we should refrain because of agreement. You know, in Amos 3:3, it says, in scripture, can two walk together except they be in agreement? When you're in a place or a space, in a relationship, in a church, wherever, and we're not talking about being hypersensitive, we're not talking about being hypervigilant, you know, you're seeing things that, you know, that are really not there, and, you know, you're speaking out of your wounds, you're seeing out of your wounds, those things exist, but I'm not talking about that. This is not the platform for that. We're talking about you are in a place because you don't know who you truly are, and you're forfeiting who you are to become something that you're not until you get to a place of emotional healing and mental understanding by embracing the real you unapologetically. Number one, agreement. When we continue to subject ourselves to abuse, and that's what it is, abuse, emotional abuse, or it could be verbal abuse, it could be psychological abuse, it could be spiritual abuse. Abuse is abuse, even though there are various degrees to it. When we begin to subject ourselves to that type of abuse in that setting, we are basically saying, I agree with you. I agree with you that I'm not good enough. I agree with you that I really don't matter. I agree with you of your perception of me. You know, there are certain people that have heard something about you and they carry it in their hearts as being the gospel when it is far from the gospel. They may have heard something about you and it's half true. They may have heard something about you and it is true. Or they may have heard something about you, but they don't know the real and full picture of what they heard from a gossiping busybody spirit.
God today.
And because they carry it or ponder it in their heart, they have built up a vendetta against you, a dislike or a disdain against you. So this is the reason why they can tolerate you and not appreciate you, moreover, not celebrate you, because they are looking at you sideways, side eye, through the lenses of what they heard about you. But what they heard about you was either a lie, a half truth, not fully explained. So you will never be, quote unquote, good enough, as if they are the yardstick in which one would measure anything of good, of maturity. Of lovely, of good report. And so when we subject ourselves to this type of abuse, again, you are basically re-traumatizing yourself. You're placing yourself in an environment to be abused over and over again. Every holiday, you're going to get abused. Every birthday, you're going to get abused. Putting yourself in those situations or circumstances where you might be saying, hey, well, listen, you know, hey, Ronald Zion, what about my work? I mean, it's, you know, the job that I'm in. I mean, you know, what you're describing, I'm going through. Okay, well, listen. Just like you found that one, you can find another one. I'm not advocating to quit something without already obtaining a job. But the sum total of you cannot equate to the job that you perform, but the woman or the man that you are.
God today.
So you have to get to a place of understanding your true value, and that your true value cannot be dumbed down. It cannot be muffled. The true you shines regardless. So number one, when we put ourselves in those places or spaces of abuse, we are in full agreement with how they view us, what they think about us, what they say about us behind our back. Except those who have spiritual discernment. And so we are in agreement. We have entered into a contractual agreement by way of a emotional contract that I agree with you that I am less than. I agree with you that I am subpar. I agree with you. So therefore, I will continue to put myself in this environment, in this relationship that is toxic and dysfunctional, because I refuse to break the contract that I have made with you concerning myself. Secondly, you suppress or forfeit your true self. When we put ourselves in these type of abusive places and spaces with people who dishonor as opposed to honor you, and especially those who claim to be the followers of Christ. It is, well, no, it's really not amazing because, you know, scripture tells us that the ones who held fast to the law of the book of Moses, and participated in the various feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, and on, that knew the letter of the law, they were the ones that said, crucify him, give us Barabbas. We don't want him. We want Barabbas. So, but at the same time, they benefited from the two-piece fish dinner. They benefited from their loved one being healed. But they did not have the Messiah's best interest at heart because they had a dirty, filthy, vile heart, though they claimed to be followers of God.
God today.
That's because these people are unregenerated. That's because these people are not transformed by the renewing of their mind. They know churchianese. They have churchianity. But they have not come in contact with the God of the universe. They have not been transformed by the one true living Yahweh Elohim. They have not rolled up their sleeves to put in the sweat equity to begin to repair the damage in their own wounded and broken souls by trauma. So everywhere they go and every person that they come in contact with, they make a twofold son of hell just like themselves.
God today.
So when we put ourselves in this place or space, we're basically, number one, we are in a full agreement. Number two, we suppress or forfeit our true selves. How many of you know your true self? I'll wait. How many of you know your true selves? Well, if you know your true selves, why do you continue or why do we continue to suppress our true selves? Because it's not popular? Because you're a little bit too quirky? Because you don't have a pristine job and you know, because you don't have all the accolades behind your name and because you're not into, you know, the rubbing elbows club and because you're not, you know, a Q dog, you're not a AKA, you're not a Delta, you're not an Alpha, you know, you're not a Democrat, you're not a Republican, you're not a part of the First Church of God, the Messiah, Apostolic, House of Prophecy, Church. Because, you know, you're not an archbishop, the first class bishop. You're not the apostle, the chief apostle of all apostles, the evangelist, state evangelist, the evangelist around the world, the pastor, doctor, reverend pastor, chief pastor, reverends of all reverends. And so you don't have those things that the world deems as important. So now you come into contract with yourself. With them, I'm not important. So you suppress your authentic you. Do you realize that the authentic you is the most powerful you? The authentic, the true you is where power emanates from. But the various mask that we put on to people please is as weak as water. There is no power in that. Number three, you offend God. When we put ourselves in these spaces and places, we offend the Most High God who made us, according to scripture, in his image. We offend him. We're basically telling him that I'm going to fall out of agreement with you, God, who made me in your image. You say, according to the book of Psalms 139, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made in your image, that you took time to sculpt me, though from dust, but to breathe your breath of life into me, that I could become a living being, an eternal being, with a physical earthly encasement, but that the most important parts of myself is made in your image. That is unacceptable. So I'm going to break covenant with you, and I'm going to establish a contractual covenant agreement, or contract with those who want me to conform to their image as opposed to being conformed to your image. Yeah, I'm waiting. And so this is offensive to the Most High God. This is the reason why the Christ, Yeshua himself, when he found that he could do no more mighty works, he didn't waste his time with them. He went to where he was welcome because he was representing his Father. He had a sense of identity that he knew who he was. This is the reason why that he could ask a profound question to Peter. Who do people say that I am? The people that benefit from the two-piece fish dinner, the people that benefit from my talents and my gifts and to make themselves look better, to expand their movement, to expand their cause. But who do people say that I am? Those people that just tolerate me but not celebrate me, who do people say that I am? Well, some people say that you know you resurrected from the dead. You know, you John the Baptist. We know he got his head cut off, but they still believe in all these mythologies. Like the Canaanites and the Amorites, the Girgashites. Some people say that you Jeremiah and Elijah. We know they've been dead and gone, but so they have all of these pictures of who they say that you are, but they refuse to get to know who you truly are. Okay, well, who do you say that I am, Peter? Yeshua, you're HaMashiach. You are the coming one that we have been waiting for. Well, you know what? Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. Your family didn't reveal that to you. Your friends didn't reveal that to you. Your frenemies didn't reveal that to you. Your enemies didn't reveal that to you. Your co-workers didn't reveal that to you. Your church family didn't reveal that to you. Your council of bishops and friends didn't reveal that to you. Those in your community that grew up with you didn't reveal that to you. Your classmates didn't reveal that to you because they don't have the eyes to see as you have seen and continue to see. That came by way of the Ruach, the Spirit of the Most High. Busted up any kind of misconception that maybe you have had of me because of lending an ear to those who don't know me. And because you surrendered your heart to truly get to know me. Not how I look and what I have, not by the gifts that I have, but you truly got to know my heart. The Spirit of God, the Most High, revealed his heart to you concerning my identity. We offend the Most High. And that's the reason why he left those who didn't believe. And they were standing eye to eye with salvation. There are many people right now that are standing eye to eye with salvation that God can bring through you. They're standing eye to eye with wisdom, with counsel, with knowledge. They're standing eye to eye with breaking various chains in their lives. But their own faulty understanding or belief system that they hold near and dear will keep them forever in a yoke of bondage. But the Most High God says that his Son knocked the dust from his feet and kept it moving. And this is the reason, this is one of the principles that Yeshua the Christ taught his disciples. If you go into a city, if you go into an environment, if you go into a space and they don't receive you in peace, shalom, shalom. If they do not receive you in peace, see, people can't receive you in peace if they don't have peace. If they don't have the peace, the shalom, peace on every side that surpasses all understanding. They cannot receive you in peace, but they will receive you in chaos. They will receive you in confusion. And we know that the Most High is not the author of confusion, but of peace. If they don't receive you in the very nature of my Father, knock the dust from your feet and keep it moving. Which brings us to number four. Placing yourself in a space or a place where you're being tolerated and not celebrated. Number four, you are being subject or subjected to time killers. Time killers. They're to waste your time. Time killers. To suck your time. Do you realize that time is something that you can't get back? And I know that, you know, in scripture, the Lord will restore to me the years that the canker worm and the palmer worm ate up. Now, we're talking about as far as not redeeming the time as we know it from a chronological standpoint. But he will redeem certain aspects within that time to allow you to accomplish what you did not accomplish before. But best believe today's date is the 25th. The 24th is gone. August, July, God will bring back August and July. No, he won't. That time is gone. But he will redeem in this dispensation, in this timeline that we're in right now, what you failed to do, what you did not do because of time killers, he will allow you to be able to do it again. He will renew the time. Re means to do over. So you get a do-over, period, in time. Time killers that come to suck your time. And the more that we do not walk in our authentic nature and who we truly are, our genuine identity, and embrace that, we are allowing ourselves to be robbed of valuable time. Why are you on this planet? Is it to suck up oxygen? Why are you on this planet? To pay Verizon and your utilities? To pay your mortgage? Why are you on this planet? So that you can post all these beautiful pictures of how much weight that you lost and you know, and you're traveling around. Okay, that's wonderful. I think that's great. But why are you on this planet? It is to accomplish a specific purpose from the one who made you to be his hands and his feet in the earth that only you can accomplish and no one else can accomplish like you can. And he has entrusted you to be a good steward over your time, your talent, and your treasures, and not to be robbed of your time by time killers who just simply tolerate you and not celebrate you. So we're wasting valuable time in trying to convince people that have made up their minds about you, try to win people over who don't want to have nothing to do with you, try to defend ourselves concerning what you may think about me, what you have heard about me. And these people are already fully convinced in their own mind. They're time killers. They're robbing you. They're robbing me. They're robbing us of valuable time that needs to be implemented in such a time as this. Time waits for no one. And so that brings us to number five. Why we should refrain from places and spaces of just being tolerated and not celebrated. Because it distracts you from those whom the Most High God has sent you. It's a distraction. A distraction. You best believe that when Yeshua the Christ left those who really wasn't feeling him, didn't want him around, and there were those that were out to kill him. The Pharisees tried to push him off a cliff in one episode of scripture. He trained his disciples, if there's no peace, knock the dust from your feet, to serve as a testimony against them. Do you realize that the dust on your feet of you being at that family function and you being in that relationship and you being in that sexuationship? See, there are a lot of people are not in situations, but in sexuationships, that you have been programmed to think that This man will stay with me if I give him the cookies. This woman will stay with me, you know, if I give it to her hard, if I give it to her real. No, these people are programmed. They are programmed because of trauma to think that if they do a certain thing, if they become a certain person, then they will be accepted. You're not being accepted because the real you, the authentic you, is not being accepted. Only the persona that you are projecting, only the public image that you are projecting is what's being accepted. Only what you have, beloved, reduced yourself to is being accepted. But the real you, the raw you, the relevant you, the authentic you, is not being accepted because that's not even being presented.
God, today.
Because you're scared to present that person. Because the moment that this person rises to the top of that relationship, that job, that family, those frenemies, your classmates, etc., they will have nothing to do with you. So we continue to play games and wearing these masks instead of taking them off. Distractions. Don't you know that when Messiah left those who didn't appreciate him, left those who didn't celebrate him, he left those who just merely tolerated him, there were more people that were waiting on him outside of that familiarity, outside of that common circle. There were people that were waiting. There are people that are waiting on you. You are a Moses being sent to someone or some people that's in bondage. You are a prophetic gift that is sent to someone. Who you truly are is waiting to be embraced. But first, beloved, you have got to embrace the real you. The time is over in trying to get people who have eyes but don't see, have ears but don't hear, who have a mind but cannot perceive who you truly are. And you continue to waste your time with people who benefit from what you bring to the table, but don't benefit, but will not accept the one who sits at the table. Knock the dust from your feet, as the Messiah told the disciples, and the dust serve as a testimony. That's what I want to talk about. That wherever you have tread, you know, back then, you know, they wore sandals, we understand, and it was common etiquette and culture that when a guest come to your home, that they leave the sandals at outside the door. They leave the sandals, they check the sandals there at the door, and they have a basin there, and they wash the feet because of the collection of dust on the feet. And that showed how much you honored that, not only honored your home, that I want you tracking all that dust in my home. I just finished mopping and waxing and vacuuming. Nah, dude. But that you honored the person, that I'm going to kneel before you. I'm going to take time to wash your feet and to dry your feet off because you've traveled so far to get here. And I appreciate you. I appreciate you traveling so far to get to where I am. You didn't have to come to me, but you did. And as an act of honor, let me wash your feet. What honor. And so they wash the feet to honor the person. But do you realize that when the Messiah says that when they don't receive you in that level of honor, they don't receive you in that manner of respect, don't worry about it. They don't have it in them to wash your feet. They don't have it in them to honor you. They don't have it in them to truly respect you in the love of the Most High God, in all realness. See, it's a lot of fakery going on. In all realness. So what you do, they're not going to wash you. Knock the dust from your feet to serve as a testimony against them. I took time out of my schedule to come to you. I gave you money that I could have kept myself because I really needed it, but I gave it to you. I accept your call in the midnight hour when you were depressed and you were crying and you were contemplating suicide. I sacrificed sleep. I prayed for you. I sacrificed so much because I wanted to see you go so far. I believed in you. I'm going to shake all of that off of where I have been and what I have done and why I did it. Not to receive any accolades, not to receive any praises. No, I'm going to shake all of that off and leave it right here with you. I'm going to leave it right here under your roof. I'm going to leave it right here that you can see that you didn't honor me. And all that I have done and all that I attempted to be for you will serve as a testimony against you. Go to your tribe. In closing, Jesus left, Yeshua left, he knocked the dust from his feet, and he went to where he was appreciated. He went to where he was celebrated. See, we have so many checkoff boxes, you know, well, my mate are going to have this and going to have that and going to do. And we, man, the church is notorious for it. We just like the world. We just like the world. We just put a Jesus tag on it in many regards, except those of us who follow Yahweh. We know better. Have all this checkoff list. They had a checkoff list when it came to Jesus, Yeshua. Well, the Messiah, when he comes, you know, he's going to walk like this. He's going to talk like this. He's going to look like this. Oh, he's going to be head and shoulders above the rest. They said that about Saul, but overlooked David, the little ruddy boy. But David was the one that was sent by God. Saul was the one that was produced by man.
God today.
There are many people that will reject you and you're sent by God, and they will create their own Saul in their lives. The Bible says that they will not even listen to truth. They have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers to validate their own insecurities, to stroke them in their own bondage, to keep them in a place of incarceration while they're standing eye to eye with the very thing that they've been praying for. Well, you know what? It's too late, because there's the dust that serves as a testimony of your rebellious ways. So I hope that this has been a blessing to you. It's definitely been a blessing to me, challenging in so many areas of my life. Hopefully challenge so many areas of your life. Definitely go to my YouTube channel, The Shame Free Life. And we will expound on this. If you haven't done so already, click the subscribe button. What are you waiting for? An invitation? Okay, now you got the invitation. Click that subscribe button and click that bell where you get instant notifications whenever I do decide to go live or upload a video. And let me go ahead. And before I go, well, my final thoughts, let me pay some bills with this commercial. Be right back. Have you ever felt alone and life is out of control? Perhaps like a sailboat at sea in the midst of a tsunami. Well, you're not alone. Here at the Shame Free Life LLC, we offer services in trauma recovery, crisis intervention, and empowerment coaching. We operate in integrity, confidentiality, empathy with coaching ethics. Contact us at theshamefreelife.com or email us at contact@theshamefreelife.com. You may not be responsible for your injury, but you are responsible for your healing. Let us help you rebuild your life one brick at a time, because your life begins when you say so. Closing thoughts. Know who you are, your identity. It is so critical to understand, embrace, and appreciate and celebrate yourself. When you come to the reality of who you truly are, not your trauma, not the hardships, not, you know, remaining in the victim's chair, but who you are truly are made in the image of, and that you were entrusted to be a good steward over that, you will come into agreement with that reality by way of a covenant contract. You will embrace your identity and you will begin to appreciate who you truly are and celebrate who you truly are. And those standards will reprogram or erase the faulty, toxic, dysfunctional program that have been downloaded through trauma. And now you have new software package that's indicative of who you truly are. So you, wherever you go, you will have that expectation. You will not treat me in any way that's not reflective of who I am. Let's go through them, the five steps once again. Why you should refrain from places and spaces where you're just being tolerated, not celebrated. Agreement. You suppress and forfeit your true self. Number three, you offend God. Number four, they are time killers. Number five, because you are distracted from where you need to go. Powerful. Until next time, beloved, your life begins when you say so.
Thank you for joining us on the Shame Free Life Radio Show for 15 Minutes of Shame. Follow us on IG and Twitter at Shame Free Life. For information on promoting your business with us, contact us at theshamefreelife@gmail.com. Until next time, your life begins when you say so.